This is Tennessee State District 57 Representative Susan Lynn's legislative update for March 6, 2026. The Nashville Congressional Passport Fair is March 10, 11, and 12, 2026. The Passport Fair will be held on Tuesday and Wednesday, March 10 and March 11, 2026, at the Ellington Agricultural Center, which is located at 440 Hogan Road in Nashville, Tennessee. It will also be held on Thursday, March 12, 2026, at the Plaza Room, which is located at 1500 Medical Center Parkway in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Notice: you must make an appointment in order to be admitted and to apply. You will also need to bring several important documents with you, or else you will not be admitted. All of the information as well as the links to obtain the necessary forms are given at the end of this recording. They are also detailed on Susan Lynn's legislative update page found on the website www.wilsonhelps.org. Again, that is at www.wilsonhelps.org. Look for Susan Lynn's legislative update page for March 6, 2026, and you will see it there. Note: these appointments are for new passports only. If you need to renew your passport, you will find the link to the online form at the end of these instructions. Follow these instructions to obtain a new passport. Bills on Notice, HB 413. This bill authorizes a patient with a severe chronic disease or terminal illness to access, and a physician to recommend, investigational stem cell treatment requires the Commissioner of Health to promulgate rules to, among other things, list the medical conditions that constitute a qualifying severe chronic disease or terminal illness, HB 1797. This bill adds the governing body of a local education agency and any other local governing body of a public body with the authority to make binding decisions or the ability to appropriate funds to the list of governing bodies that are required to make meeting agendas available to the public in advance of such meetings. This excludes nonprofits. HB 1553. This bill removes the filing fee that must be paid to the Secretary of State to file articles of termination of corporation existence, increases the number of days after a person ceases solicitation activities after registration with the Secretary of State from 30 to 90 that the person has to notify the Secretary of State, keeps the requirement that a charitable organization that ceases solicitation activity and received in excess of $1 million in gross revenue during the most recently completed fiscal year include an audited financial statement and forms required to be filed by a charitable organization with the United States Internal Revenue Service, with the organization's notice to the Secretary of State that the organization ceased solicitation activities, HB 1160. This bill requires any healthcare provider authorized to prescribe psychotropic medications, defined broadly to include antidepressants, antipsychotics, anxiolytics, hypnotic stimulants, benzodiazepines, and hormonal medications whose primary purpose is to alter a person's physical appearance or sexual characteristics present at birth, to do two main things before issuing a prescription as follows: give the patient a written warning detailing all known risks and adverse reactions of the drug or drug class, plus the risks of polypharmacy. If no safety data exists for a specific combination, the warning must explicitly say so. The provider must review the warning with a patient guardian and obtain a signed acknowledgement that is kept in the medical record. Report any serious adverse event that occurs while the patient is taking or withdrawing from the medication to the FDA's MedWatch program within 15 business days, and retain proof of the report in the patient's file. HB 11159. This bill requires a voter to designate on the voter registration record a political party with which the voter is affiliated in order to vote in primary elections for such political party. HB 1688. This bill requires assisted care living facilities to provide written website links to prospective residents before admission or contract execution. The required information includes the facility's current licensure status. This bill, its history of disciplinary actions. This bill, the Health Facilities Commission's meeting schedule. This bill, the Commission's facility action and abuse report. This bill. Bill targets nitrous oxide sales at vape shops. Members of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week advanced legislation to address the misuse of nitrous oxide. The Nitrous Oxide Abuse Prevention and Retail Sales Prohibition Act, sponsored by State Rep. Fred Achley R. Sevierville, prohibits any vape retailers, manufacturers, and distributors of vapor products from selling nitrous oxide, commonly known as laughing gas or whippets. This bill aims to prevent the abuse of nitrous oxide by banning the sale of nitrous oxide at the convenience stores, vape shops, gas stations, and liquor stores, Achley told committee members. The intent of this bill is to protect our young people. In 2025, the Food and Drug Administration warned Americans that repeatedly inhaling nitrous oxide could lead to side effects including asphyxiation, blood clots, frostbite, paralysis, and brain damage. This proposal specifically bars vape retailers and vape product distributors, wholesalers, and importers from offering nitrous oxide products for retail sale. Violations would carry escalating civil penalties, starting at up to $500 per product for a first offense. Repeat violations within a 12-month period could lead to fines of up to $1,500 per product and suspension or revocation of a retailer's license. Manufacturers that knowingly cause nitrous oxide products to be sold through vape retailers could face civil penalties of $10,000 per product, and repeated violations could be treated as a deceptive trade practice under state law. House Bill 1644 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 11th. Republicans crack down on blue state issuance of CDLs. Tennessee Republicans this week continue to put the safety and best interests of lawful residents first by advancing legislation to keep roads across the volunteer state safe, House Bill 1706, sponsored by Deputy Speaker Jason Zachary R. Knoxville, establishes a Class A misdemeanor for an illegal alien to operate a commercial motor vehicle in Tennessee. It would also create a Class A misdemeanor offense for someone to knowingly allow a person unlawfully in the United States to operate a CMV. This legislation is about protecting Tennesseans, Zachary told the Transportation Committee on Tuesday, pointing to a recent report of an illegal immigrant with a CDL causing a deadly crash in Indiana and citing another incident in Missouri in which an illegal immigrant was filmed driving the wrong direction. Are going to stand with the people of the state. We're going to stand and ensure that the safety and well-being of Tennesseans is our top priority. The proposal requires law enforcement agencies to notify federal immigration authorities after arresting a person accused of violating this measure through the 287 program or Tennessee's Centralized Immigration Enforcement Division, direct employers who knowingly allow illegal aliens to operate a CMV and state officials or employees of any state who issue a commercial driver's license to an illegal alien could be held liable to a person who suffers personal injury or property damage as a result, according to House Bill 1706. Commercial motor vehicles in Tennessee include any vehicle or combination of vehicles used to transport people or property with a gross vehicle weight rating or gross combination weight rating of at least 26,001 pounds, with certain exceptions. Most vehicles designed to transport 16 or more passengers, or that are used to transport hazardous materials, are also considered CMVs. House Bill 1706 is part of Tennessee Republicans' Immigration 2026 legislative package, which is designed to close enforcement gaps, protect Tennessee taxpayers, and require active enforcement of immigration laws across the state. The proposal is scheduled to be heard in the Finance, Ways and Means Subcommittee on March 11, 2026. Bill strengthens American history education in higher ed. A proposal by State Rep. Ron Gant, R. Piperton, would help ensure college students graduating from Tennessee public institutions have a basic knowledge of American history. House Bill 291 would require the Institute of American Civics at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville, to develop curricula for a course providing a comprehensive overview of major events and turning points in our nation's history and government. This 3-credit course would be required for students pursuing a bachelor's degree in any public college or university in Tennessee, with certain exceptions. Understanding the Constitution is not ideological. Understanding the Declaration is not partisan. Understanding Dr. King's letter is not political. It is historical and moral education, said Gant. This bill reinforces the idea that civic literacy is a core responsibility of public education. At a minimum, the course must include an understanding of the U.S. Constitution, Declaration of Independence, at least 5 essays from the Federalist Papers, Emancipation Proclamation, Gettysburg Address, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from Birmingham Jail, and at least 1 additional document foundational to civil rights history. House Bill 291 would not add any credit hours to degree requirements and would not create additional cost burdens for students. While current Tennessee law requires all public college students to earn a credit in American history, this proposal outlines specific course requirements. If passed by the General Assembly, the course would be implemented beginning in the 2026-27 academic year. House Bill 291 is expected to be heard in the Education Committee on March 10th. House passes Tennessee Procurement Protection Act. The Tennessee House of Representatives this week passed legislation to protect public funds from being used to purchase certain products from adversaries of the United States. The Tennessee Procurement Protection Act, sponsored by Assistant House Majority Leader Mark Cochran, R. Englewood, prohibits state agencies or political subdivisions from procuring final technology products from a foreign adversarial country as defined by the U.S. Department of Commerce. These include China, Cuba, Iran, North Korea, and Russia. This would be for new and reprocured contracts, so it doesn't affect any current contract, just moving forward. Cochran told the State and Local Government Committee last year, the legislation requires the Department of General Services Chief Procurement Officer to certify that no contract is awarded to companies primarily located in or controlled by an adversarial government, with limited exceptions. It also includes companies that are majority owned by an entity controlled by an adversary. Technology and software would include communication and networking devices, personal computing devices, industrial and critical infrastructure devices, financial and payment systems, automotive and transportation systems, or any other device or software deemed high risk by the CPO. The companion version of House Bill 548 is still advancing through the Senate. If approved, it would take effect July 1st. Bill protects small businesses from big tech. House Republican Caucus Chairman Jeremy Faison, R. Cosby, this week advanced legislation to protect small businesses in Tennessee from unfair online blacklisting. The practice of online blacklisting includes reducing visibility or accessibility of a small business's website, removing it from search results, or deleting more than 25% of reviews. House Bill 2028 will require search engines to provide 24-hour notice before blacklisting, a clear explanation of any rules or policies violated, steps for appeal, and direct contact information for a company representative must be included. Small businesses drive Tennessee's economy and depend on platforms like Google to reach customers. Sudden, unexplained delistings can destroy revenue overnight, devastate families, and force closures, said Faison. My bill requires big tech companies to provide fair notice and clear reasons for removal, offering owners a real chance to correct issues and keep their doors open. The proposal doesn't ban deplatforming or valid moderation, but requires an explanation and provides small businesses with an avenue for resolution. Small businesses rely on online advertising and an internet presence to reach customers. Fake complaints and mass spam reports can cause sudden blacklisting, negatively impacting small businesses in communities across Tennessee. House Bill 2028 is scheduled to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 11th. Bill codifies bus service for Tennessee students. Legislation to ensure school districts provide bus services to students advanced out of the Education Committee this week. House Bill 1818, sponsored by State Rep. Lowell Russell, R. Von Ore, requires all school districts that offer transportation to provide bus service to students attending their zone school, unless a bus cannot reasonably reach the child due to road conditions or if the home is in a remote area. If a district provides transportation, then students attending their zone school should have access to it, Russell said. Parents deserve consistency, and they deserve to know their child will have a reliable way to get to school. If a bus can't reach a student's home, this proposal also requires school districts to notify parents that they may qualify for mileage reimbursement for taking their child to school. This legislation does not change Tennessee's existing transportation reimbursement guidelines for students who live within 1.5 miles of their zoned school. House Bill 1818 is expected to be heard in the Finance, Ways and Means Subcommittee on March 11th. Teacher Residency Pilot Program supports career development. Legislation by Education Committee Chairman Mark White, R. Memphis, to support student success and teacher career development advanced out of the Education Administration Subcommittee this week. The Tennessee Teacher Residency Pilot Program Act will create a 3-year pilot program formalizing a state partnership with teacher residency programs, which includes teacher preparation training through a residency model in schools, colleges, or universities, or educator preparation providers. These types of programs have been operating in the state for more than 15 years, and their innovative approach to teacher preparation has proven effective time and again, White said. Borrowing from the medical residency model that combines rigorous coursework and intentional mentorship, graduates make an immediate and lasting impact. House Bill 1977 would create a grant program to support residency programs by helping defray all or a portion of operating costs, including stipends for teacher residents and mentor teachers. To be eligible for grant funding, residency programs must require teacher residents to complete at least one full academic year of rigorous EPP coursework integrated into a year of guided clinical apprenticeship through a school partnership. There must also be an expectation of employment for teacher residents at the partnering public or charter school after program completion, with educators required to commit to teach for a minimum of 3 consecutive years at the the partnering school or at another high-need school designated by the Tennessee Department of Education. House Bill 1977 will be considered in the Education Committee on March 10. FAIR-RX Act protects consumers, eliminates conflicts of interest. Legislation aimed at preventing conflicts of interest in the prescription drug industry and protecting patient choice advanced out of the Insurance Subcommittee this week. The Freedom, Access, and Integrity in Registered Pharmacy Act, or FAIR-RX Act, sponsored by State Rep. Rick Scarborough, R. Oak Ridge, prohibits companies from owning or controlling both a pharmacy and a pharmacy benefit manager or a health insurer in Tennessee beginning January 1, 2028. This bill separates financial control from patient care and decision-making, Scarborough said. When the same company sets reimbursement rates and owns the pharmacy being paid, it creates a clear conflict of interest. This proposal does not prevent independent pharmacies from offering mail order, specialty, or delivery services, and does not restrict hospital pharmacies. It also does not apply to employers administering pharmacy benefits for self-funded employee health plans or pharmacy services provided pursuant to contracts with the U.S. Department of Defense for the administration of the TRICARE program. If enacted, pharmacies currently operating under ownership structures prohibited by the bill may continue operating through December 31, 2028, while pursuing a good faith sale to an unaffiliated owner. The legislation allows for a possible 6-month extension if substantial progress toward a sale is demonstrated. Violations under the legislation can result in civil penalties of up to $10,000 per day per violation. House Bill 1959 is expected to be heard in the Insurance Committee on March 10th. House advances proposal to make kratom illegal. Proposed legislation that would make kratom illegal to possess, sell, or distribute advanced out of the Criminal Justice Subcommittee this week. Matthew Davenport's Law, or House Bill 1649, sponsored by State Rep. Esther Helton Haynes, R. East Brainerd, would prohibit kratom and its primary alkaloids, mitragynine and 7-hydroxymitragynine in Tennessee, and establish criminal penalties to protect public health. Growing concerns from Tennessee families, health professionals, and community members about the risks, unrestricted availability, and potency of natural and synthetic kratom products highlight a clear need for action, said Helton Haynes. The testimony we heard from experts in committee made it clear that natural does not equal safe. Kratom, often referred to as gas station heroin, due to its widespread availability at gas stations, convenience stores, smoke shops, and vape stores, is often marketed as a natural supplement. It is sometimes used by individuals attempting to self-treat symptoms such as pain, anxiety, depression, cough, or opioid withdrawal. The legislation would update workplace drug policies by requiring the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development to establish rules adding kratom to workplace drug testing panels and expand toxicology testing to include the presence of kratom. Matthew Davenport's life tragically ended on March 18, 2024, following a lethal interaction between kratom and doctor-prescribed medications, highlighting the potential dangers when the substance is used alongside other drugs. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration warns the public against using kratom for medical treatments. No kratom-containing prescription or over-the-counter drugs are legally approved in the United States. Additionally, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration lists kratom as a drug and chemical of concern with potential for abuse. The Judiciary Committee will consider House Bill 1649 on March 11th. Briefly, streamlining disaster relief. The House of Representatives approved legislation this week to streamline how the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency administers disaster relief grants. House Bill 1467, sponsored by State Rep. Rebecca Alexander R. Jonesboro, exempts disaster response and recovery grants from certain state purchasing and contracting requirements. Many of these steps duplicate reviews already conducted by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which can delay funding delivery for months. By removing those requirements, the legislation aims to help TEMA distribute assistance to impacted communities more efficiently after disasters. House Bill 1467 now heads to Gov. Bill Lee's desk for his signature, Homestead Exemptions, a proposal to expand Tennessee's homestead exemption laws advanced out of the Civil Justice Subcommittee this week. House Bill 1903, sponsored by State Rep. Brian Terry R. Murfreesboro, extends homestead protections to families with adult children who have developmental or intellectual disabilities when the head of the household dies. Under current law, homestead protections primarily apply to a surviving spouse and minor children. This legislation allows the exemption to continue for an adult child with a qualifying disability who lives in the home. It also permits up to $35,000 from the sale of a homestead property to be provided to an eligible survivor if the property cannot be set apart. It clarifies that some or all of those funds may be deposited into an Achieving a Better Life Experience account for a qualifying individual with disabilities. House Bill 1903 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 11th, banning virtual currency kiosks. Legislation banning the installation and operation of virtual currency kiosks, commonly known as Bitcoin ATMs or crypto kiosks, advanced in the House this week. House Bill 2505, sponsored by House Speaker Cameron Sexton, R. Crossville, and State Rep. Jay Reedy, R. Aaron, creates a Class A misdemeanor to own or operate a virtual currency kiosk. The legislation was drafted in collaboration with law enforcement agencies to protect Tennesseans from scammers. Recent data from law enforcement and consumer protection agencies show incidents of scams involving these kiosks have surged since 2023, often resulting in irreversible financial losses for victims coerced into fake investments or emergency payments. A report by Chainalysis estimates $17 billion was stolen in crypto scams and fraud in 2025 alone. By criminalizing their operation, the legislation prioritizes public safety over unregulated crypto infrastructure. House Bill 2505 is expected to be heard in the Commerce Committee on March 11th. Unlawful image distribution. Legislation expanding legal protections for victims of non-consensual intimate image distribution advanced out of the Civil Justice Subcommittee this week. House Bill 2012, sponsored by State Rep. Mary Littleton, R. Dixon, allows individuals whose intimate images are shared without their consent to file a civil lawsuit against the person responsible. Victims may recover damages for emotional distress, profits made from the distribution, or up to $150,000 in statutory damages, along with attorney's fees and court costs. Courts may also order the removal of the images and prohibit any further distribution. Certain exceptions apply for images shared in good faith for law enforcement or legal proceedings. House Bill 2012 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 11th. Civics Education. The House Education Committee this week advanced the Tennessee Civics Education Act, sponsored by State Rep. Kip Cabley, R. Summertown. The proposal requires people seeking an initial license or endorsement to teach social studies, history, government, or civics in grades 6 to 12 to pass a United States civics test. The exam, created by the Tennessee Department of Education, would include 100 questions collected from the civics test administered by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services for people seeking to become naturalized citizens. A passing score would be correctly answering at least 70 questions. House Bill 1658 will be considered in the Finance, Ways and Means Subcommittee on March 11th, 4th of July instruction. A proposal to require schools across Tennessee to observe the 4th of July annually advanced in the House this week. House Bill 1857, sponsored by State Rep. Tim Rudd, R. Murfreesboro, directs schools to provide students with appropriate instruction on the founding of the United States, the separation of the 13 colonies from Great Britain, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and related rights and freedoms. School districts and charter schools would determine the instructional program and methods based on grade-specific objectives. The proposal requires instruction to be nonpartisan and focus on historical facts, founding documents, and underlying civic principles. House Bill 1857 will be heard in the Education Committee on March 10th. Violent offenders. The House this week passed House Bill 33, sponsored by State Rep. John Gillespie, R. Memphis, which creates a presumption against releasing defendants from jail on their own recognizance if the defendant is charged with an offense involving a firearm that results in the bodily injury or death of a victim. The bill requires judges to include documentation explaining the reasoning for releasing a defendant. The companion bill passed in the Senate last year and now heads to Gov. Bill Lee's desk for his signature. Working Families. House Bill 2358, sponsored by State Rep. David Hawk, R. Greenville, would direct the Tennessee Department of Human Services to annually transfer funds from the state's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families Block Grant to the Child Care and Development Fund to support participation in Tennessee's Smart Steps Child Care Program. The legislation requires transferring an amount sufficient to support the Smart Steps Program, which helps working parents remain in the workforce. House Bill 2358 heads to the Health Committee on March 10. Work authorization. The House of Representatives on Thursday passed legislation to ensure all employees in Tennessee have legal work authorization. House Bill 1194, sponsored by State Rep. Scott Sepicki, R. Kulioka, lowers the threshold for coverage under the Tennessee Lawful Employment Act from 6 employees to 1. This change helps ensure all private employers in the state comply with work authorization requirements. Employers must submit specified proof of work authorization for employees and certain non-employees to the Commissioner of the Tennessee Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The companion version of House Bill 1194 is still advancing through the Senate. Civics Instruction. House Bill 2395, sponsored by State Rep. Michelle Renault, R. Signal Mountain, would require local education agencies and public charter schools to incorporate civics instructional videos into social studies curriculum for grades 6 to 12. The instructional video would be recommended by the Tennessee Textbook and Instructional Materials Quality Commission and approved by the Tennessee State Board of Education. The bill requires viewing the civics instructional video once each school year. If passed, the measure would be implemented in the 2027-28 school year. Consumer protections. Legislation aimed at modernizing Tennessee's reverse mortgage laws and providing older homeowners with additional financial flexibility advanced this week in the House. House Bill 2382, sponsored by State Rep. Kevin Vaughn, or Collierville, will recognize additional reverse mortgage products beyond those currently insured through the Federal Housing Administration. Currently, only FHA-insured reverse mortgages are authorized in Tennessee. The proposed legislation would allow reverse mortgages on homes that exceed the FHA maximum lending limit and expand eligibility to borrowers as young as 55, compared to the FHA minimum age requirement of 62. The legislation would also extend eligibility to homeowners living in condominiums that do not meet FHA approval guidelines, increasing access for property owners. House Bill 2382 will be considered in the Commerce Committee on March 11. Screen time. Legislation to eliminate classroom screen time for K-5 students advanced in the House this week. House Bill 2393, sponsored by State Rep. Michelle Renault, R. Signal Mountain, would reduce reliance on one-to-one student device use while allowing teacher-directed technology in the classroom. The legislation exempts the use of digital tools for special education accommodations, response to intervention assessments, virtual or hybrid learning environments, and certain disciplinary situations. House Bill 2393 would allow schools to transition away from one-to-one device models as existing vendor contracts expire. The proposal will be considered in the Education Committee on March 10th. Broadband expansion. The Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development on Thursday announced the U.S. Department of Commerce's approval of the Volunteer State's Broadband Expansion Plan through the Broadband Equity, Access, and Deployment Program. The announcement will bring more than $200 million in funding to unserved and underserved communities across Tennessee. The state-administered federal funds will benefit 128 projects in 74 counties, delivering service to more than 43,000 locations and helping ensure all residents have access to reliable high-speed internet. David Crockett Week. The House of Representatives honored the legacy of David Crockett on the House floor Thursday, marking the 190th anniversary of his death at the Battle of the Alamo. House Joint Resolution 990, sponsored by State Rep. David Hawk, R. Greenville, recognized Crockett's life as a frontiersman, soldier, statesman, and folk hero, highlighting his service in the Tennessee General Assembly and U.S. Congress. Gov. Bill Lee signed a proclamation designating March 2 to 6 as David Crockett Week, celebrating his enduring influence on Tennessee and the nation. The resolution and proclamation also emphasized preserving the David Crockett Birthplace State Park in Greene County, which sustained significant damage during Hurricane Helene. Gov. Lee's 2027 budget proposal includes $22.7 million for the first phase of restoration under the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation's master plan. Crockett's legacy lives on across Tennessee, including in Crockett County and its county seat, Alamo, named in tribute to his sacrifice. The Nashville Congressional Passport Fair is March 10, 11, and 12, 2026. The Passport Fair will be held on Tuesday and Wednesday, March 10th and March 11th, 2026, at the Ellington Agricultural Center, which is located at 440 Hogan Road in Nashville, Tennessee. It will also be held on Thursday, March 12, 2026, at the Plaza Room, which is located at 1500 Medical Center Parkway in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Notice, you must make an appointment in order to be admitted and to apply. These appointments are for new passports only. If you need to renew your passport, you will find the link to the online form at the end of these instructions. Follow these instructions to obtain a new passport. 1. Click the link below to make an appointment to apply in person at either the Nashville or the Murfreesboro location. 2. In order to apply in person, click the link below to access the online passport form, which you will need to complete online and print a copy to bring with you. Note: be sure not to sign the printed form until you are at your appointment. 3. When the webpage opens, notice the first section which says, "Fill out online and print." This is Form DS-11. It is for first-time applicants. You must click the Submit button in order to access the form on the next page. 4. Complete all of the form online and then print a copy. Be sure not to sign the printed form until you are at your appointment. 5. You will also need to present evidence of your U.S. citizenship, such as an official copy of your birth certificate, which is, most likely, available for order online from the state in which you were born. You will also need to bring a photocopy of this document with you to your appointment. 6. You will also need to present your personal identification, such as a Tennessee driver's license, which has a photo. You will need to bring a photocopy of your personal identification with you to your appointment. 7. You will also need to bring a passport photo of yourself. Passport photos are available at places such as a CVS store, a FedEx store, a UPS store, or a Walgreens store. 8. You will also need to bring a personal check or a money order made payable to the United States Department of State to pay for your passport and application fees. Click the link below to determine how much the money order should be made for. 9. Finally, before you leave for your appointment, review all the steps above to be sure you have everything that will be required before you arrive. Otherwise, you will not be admitted for your appointment. 10. If you have any questions about these steps, you may reference the... For passport renewals, you will need to use the online form number DS-82, which must be printed and mailed along with a form of payment. The renewal form can be found at www.travel.state.gov. Again, that link is located at www.travel.state.gov.